The national champions play here. The Ohio State Buckeyes are on ESPN 850 WKNR.
And the Bengals remain undefeated. They win tonight. The final score, Cincinnati 31 and the Browns 10. Doug and I are back to wrap it up right after.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Reaction Friday here. Wish we had the weekend to kind of try to let this all sink in.
Buckeyes are tomorrow night. They'll get it done.
What?
I said the Buckeyes are tomorrow night. They'll get it done.
Well, yes, they certainly will. 216-578-0850. Let's go to Danny in SoCal. Danny, welcome to the show.
I agree, you guys. You cannot blame this defense. There's no offense. Blame the offense. 3 weeks in a row, no first downs in the second half. We lead the NFL in false starts. Like you said, we abandoned the run in the second half. Thanks for those stats. What I'm seeing is every time our defense gets a three and out, forces the other team to punt, our offense turns it right back to the other team, gives them even better field possession each and every time. I mean, this is a double whammy. I'm so sorry to all those people in pain in Ohio and they're not able to get their medication. I mean, you guys, I feel for you. Go Browns.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Go Browns. And now, to say that this is only on the offense, I can't agree with that, because the defense for the second straight week, they can't get off the field. If you could get off the field, that would be one thing, but you couldn't. And here in the second half, 6 plays, 32 yards, 9 plays, 39 yards for 4 minutes, and that was a field goal. 8 plays, 91 yards, touchdown. 8 plays, 58 yards, touchdown. 6 plays, 29 yards, block punt, and then the end of the game. Those were their second half possessions. And on the day of their possessions in the first half, one went for 10 plays, one went for 14 plays. Then they had the end of the half, so that doesn't count. They had 3 possessions in the first half that totaled 27 plays. Think about that. Second half, they had 6, 9, and then 8, 8, 6, 2.
Yeah.
You can't win that way.
No.
You can't win that way because the Browns are not getting off the field either. The Browns need to find a way to get off the field defensively. What was it, 13 of 16 on third downs last week?
Yes, it was.
13 of 16 on third downs last week. This week, 8 of 14, so better, but they still couldn't get off the field consistently. They could not do enough defensively, and I thought it was too easy. I thought, in some ways, you know what it reminded me of? And I'll say this for the Arizona game, too, although in the Arizona game they made more mistakes, but it reminded me of a boxing fight when you had a superior boxer going against an inferior boxer, and for the first few rounds, just was kind of feeling them out, you know, wasn't really kind of showing everything, yep. Landed a couple punches here and there, and then once they kind of knew what was going on, just went in for the kill, and that's what the Bengals did.
I agree, and what's so funny to use that same analogy, I thought the same thing. It's you go, you know, you win a round, you lose a round, you win a round, you lose a round, you win a round, you lose a round, you get to that 7, 8, 9 round, you know, of that fight. And as you mentioned, the superior boxer gets it figured out, and he's figured out your weakness, which is the coaching standpoint, your corner, and then you're the superior talent, as I mentioned, which the Bengals, you know, consensusly said had. And at that point, they go out and execute their corner's plan, and they might not knock him out, you know, which I don't, you know, in some cases you could say, oh, we lost the game, and it was as bad as it could get. But it was just like, it's just, they win the round, and then it's by TKO at the end, and it's not even close. And I think that's
a lot of what happened.
That game,
even when it was 17-10, didn't feel close. It's kind of like when the Cardinals were up 24-20, it didn't feel close. And it's frustrating, I'm sure, for the fans. I know it's frustrating for the team. Let's go now to, we've got Dino the Trucker. Dino, welcome to the show.
How are we doing today on this miserable Friday?
Hanging in there, brother.
I'll tell you something. You know, I'm kind of up there in the years. I'm 58, you know, and I've been through a lot of regime changes. I've been through a lot of stuff where there's a lot of hope in the beginning. But, you know, there's got to be a point to where they got to quit getting the losing mentality and they got to get it out of that mindset. And I think that's all that in a nutshell. They keep on putting themselves in a situation where they can't get out of. I don't know. You know, I remember when they drafted Johnny Manziel, we all thought that they were going to go for Bridgewater. And I'm not putting Manziel down by no means. But he's not the style of play that I would feel that we needed in this system. We played for the AFC North. over here, you got to have a big quarterback for one thing. We don't have the line to protect him, Johnny Manziel. That's not there. He don't have the time to go back and throw out of the pocket. That kid should have been running a lot more for his style of play. So that means you have to change the offense around him. Are they willing to do that? I don't think so. So where do we go from there? Now, on the defensive side, all I see them do is regress. They're not getting any better. They're not using their players right. I don't know why Kruger isn't going after a quarterback. You know, and it seems like they're always putting themselves in that hole.
Yeah, you're right, and thank you so much for the call. And Nathan, something that I've kind of, you know, continued to wrap my head around over the last couple weeks, and it's something that I believe, and I think that, you know, many successful business people or people in the world who are successful don't try to recreate the wheel. And I think in some cases you reevaluate your process consistently. When, again, Mike Pettine said in his comments that they'll do that over the course of the next 10 days before they take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. How much they can do at this point when you're this deep in, I don't know. But I guess I'm just in the frame of mind where at some point you have to humble yourself, step back, and look around the National Football League and go, there are organizations that do it right. There are organizations that are doing it better. How can we adapt what they're doing here in Cleveland? And I think that might be the recipe to success where I guess playing like a Brown in that template, I like it. I like what it stands for. And I think in some cases you have guys that are and there's guys that aren't. But when it comes to building an organization or building a winning organization, you know, why can't we build like the Bengals, build like the Packers, build like the Patriots? You know, and I understand they have their franchise quarterback, and that has something to do with it. But as many times, even last night throughout the broadcast and some of the comments that I've read this morning, listened to, you know, the really big show, is Johnny Manziel with weapons around him, that's a different offense. That's a different dynamic. If you have a go-to guy and multiple accents, you can run the football. Even with the backs that we have, Johnny Manziel's confidence is huge. And as you said, that big body wide receiver, that go-to guy that's going to win you a 50-50 ball, because we don't have those guys right now.
I honestly don't understand how once you made the commitment to Johnny Manziel and drafted him, that in the draft that was the greatest wide receiver draft in NFL history, you had a guy like Allen Robinson, who's doing wonders for Blake Bortles down in Jacksonville, sitting there in the middle of the second round, and instead you trade up in the third for Terrence West. Where's he right now? He's not even active for the Tennessee Titans, when you could have gone and gotten Allen Robinson. How do you not give this guy the best opportunity to succeed? And a lot of the people I've heard talking about the Brown situation from around the NFL, former general managers, etc., and one that I've worked with in the past, who I spoke with, has said to me, I don't understand. You brought Johnny Manziel in, and then you're giving him no opportunity to succeed. They had A.J. Green there. Andy Dalton, by the way, played right away. They have A.J. Green there. Then they draft Tyler Eifert in the first round. They draft Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard both in the second round. They gave him weapons around him. They did a good job of supplying him with the supporting cast. I applaud Big Play Garrett. I applaud Travis Benjamin for what they're doing. But when you are honest and sit down and say, for your team, the top two skill position players in the passing game are Gary Barnage and Travis Benjamin, and then you mix in Duke Johnson, a running back, that is not a recipe for success for any quarterback in the National Football League. It makes what Josh McCown has done this year, the fact that records were set, all the more remarkable, and John DeFilippo did a good job with that. But I think what we're finding out is this team cannot succeed being one-dimensional as the season progresses, as teams start to figure it out, because it's kind of simple, right? You put your best cover corner man-to-man on Travis Benjamin and play press man on him, which he's not big. He struggles a little bit with press man. You bracket Gary Barnage down the middle of the field, which was done last night. And then who's going to beat you? Taylor Gabriel couldn't get open, and when he did, he couldn't catch the football. Dwayne Bowe at this point not getting enough reps. We don't even know. Marlon Moore played more than he did at wide receiver. So you're asking Johnny Manziel, the kind of guy who makes plays and made kind of himself famous by running around, buying time, and getting the job done, throwing the ball to big, strong guys like Mike Evans at Texas A&M, and then you've given him nobody who fits that mold in any way, shape, or form. And then you want to talk about defensively. Here's all you need to know about this game. Johnny Manziel dropped back 40 times and was under pressure on 20 of them. Andy Dalton dropped back 32 times and was under pressure 5 times. times. When the Browns blitzed him, which was only six times, he was 6 for 6 for 108 yards with a touchdown and a perfect quarterback rating of 158.3. You cannot be an aggressive defense when you can't generate pressure. You can't even be a passive defense when you can't generate pressure, because you can't rush 4 and drop 7 when you never get there. He has all day to pick you apart. And then when you blitz, you still don't get there, and he picks you apart. It's like the Philip Rivers game. We blitzed. It was like stealing, and he was depleted in his wide receiver core that game. There are so many problems with what's going on right now with this team on the field, and then you talked about systemically and strategically, how do you build an organization? It is not the way that it has been done recently. And you look at Cincinnati, draft picks are playing at a high level for them. Guys are succeeding. They're bringing them in. They're making smart acquisitions. They are not bringing in a lot of guys. And listen, Randy Starks comes in as a veteran. He makes a great play and then gets 15 yards thrown on top of it. He's a veteran. He's not supposed to make those kind of mental mistakes. You're bringing him in for leadership to show your young guys the right way to do things. Then he's offsides. Two of your free high guys, offsides, and it was on a field goal, and I know it was I don't fault him for trying to get after the kick. The guy probably would have made it, but Tremont Williams, high-priced, free agent veteran, offsides cost you the game against San Diego. Randy Starks, you could say that would have been a big momentum play right there. Get off the field on fourth down, and instead, no, it ends up being a touchdown for the Cincinnati Bengals. This team right now has got a lot of issues, and they've got to figure it out, because defensively they can't stop the run. They can't get to the quarterback. That's a huge, massive problem. And then offensively, I honestly think that what the Browns were able to do was nothing short of miraculous. Now, they had a good run against defenses that have struggled this year, San Diego, Baltimore, Oakland, etc. But for the fact of the matter is, Josh McCown's still the only quarterback who threw multiple scores against the Denver Broncos all season long. What they did was miraculous, but you can't win with smoke and mirrors for forever, and
right.
Teams are going to figure it out. And you don't have the people around Johnny who showed some flashes to me. I don't even know if you have the people around Johnny to truly evaluate him as a pocket quarterback, because as a pocket quarterback, you still need guys to get open.
They got to win one-on-one matchups.
Right.
Gotta
and
work
who
with
wins
you.
A one-on-one matchup on our team?
No one.
Big
no,
play
no one consistently.
No.
No one. And you know what? In your, and I'll call that a rant, and you seem very, you know, passionate and excited about that. A few things came to mind, and I know Mike Pettine, you know, reverberated it, you know, in his post-game press conference, but a few things jump out to me, and this is simply taking what was been emphasized to me when I was on a winning organization is, A, discipline, and I think that's come into question each and every week, and B, is attention to detail. Those two things alone, which is kind of like your best way to show your coach or your franchise or your position coach, is that you're all in, is that you are a disciplined person, which we've seen, you know, between Justin Gilbert showing up late to an airplane or Johnny Manziel's situation and him still being active. And no matter how you come out on what side of it, it's like some of those things in season just get swept under the rug. That has everything to do with discipline, and that carries over to you, to who you are on the field and off the field. And I think that lacks here in Cleveland. And then I would just say consistently, attention to detail. And I thought that was really in the focus of my eyes last night when we went to young players and we had different packages out on the field, predominantly defensively, how lost we looked. You know, and
how
it goes,
many times are we not lined up at the snap of the ball?
Or
and they can just run because there's nobody there.
Right. Or, Nathan, how many times, if I had a dollar for every time someone looked at another player with their hands and like shrugging up their shoulders, like, what's the call? Or where do I line up? And Pop Saunders running around like a chicken with his head cut off and looking to Tashaun Gibson to get him lined up. That doesn't happen in the National Football League for any other team. Why is that happening here?
It's disappointing to say the least, and that's why the Browns are where they are. We'll take a break when we come back. More of your phone calls, more of your discourse on this Cleveland Browns team, 216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily's Gern Wilhelm, ESPN 850 WKNR.